dramas of the court. We present the dramatic story of our court, where daily the unbiased administration of justice is dealt to rich and poor alike. These dramatizations in fictionized form are typical of the human interest dramas that daily crowd our courts. Tonight, an alibi that went wrong.
Gentlemen of the jury, the administration of good government is based upon a sound judicial system. In considering the case before you, weigh carefully all the evidence and be convinced beyond all reasonable doubt of the guilt or innocence of the accused before delivering your verdict.
The People versus Charles Wilmore.
The jury's been out a couple of hours now, and Charlie's not looking as happy about it as he might. There's no question of acquittal. It's just a matter of whether their verdict's going to be manslaughter or murder. What they decide is going to make a big difference to Charlie, of course, but not to me. Whichever way it goes, Charlie's going to be out of circulation for a long, long time. And that's all that counts as far as I'm concerned. You see, I'm the cop who put him in the dock. My part of the job's just about over now. So I can afford to relax and think back. Piecing the story together, it all began one evening about a year ago in the Kit Kat Club, where Charlie was having a quiet drink. Well, having a drink, anyway. The Kit Kat was a cabaret of sorts, which meant it had a floor show of sorts. Usually, Charlie wasn't what you'd call an avid fan of the Terpsichorean art, but this night it was different. And as soon as the music was over... Hey, Gus.
Hello, Charlie. Enjoying yourself?
In this dump? What do you think? Tell me, Gus, who's the new blonde you got in the chorus?
Not bad, eh? She can even dance a bit.
I wouldn't know about that. What's her name?
Why do you want to know?
I just want to know, that's all.
Eva Courtney.
When she's changed, tell her to come over here and I'll stand her a drink.
Maybe she won't want to come.
Tell her I said so.
Maybe she won't want to come all the more.
Listen to me.
All right, take it easy, Charlie. I was only joking. I didn't know you were interested in blondes.
I'm not.
But, I see. Just this special one, eh?
Yeah.
Got a strictly business proposition to put to her, I suppose, huh?
That's right.
That's not a very original line, Charlie, but I'll tell her anyway.
Maybe it wasn't a very original line. But in Charlie's case, it happened to be true. As Eva Courtney found out a few minutes later.
Is this on the level, Mr. Wilmore?
Strictly, Miss Courtney.
What made you pick on me?
Well, I'm a pretty good judge of character. I knew you were the right one the moment I spotted you. You're intelligent.
Thanks.
You know your way around, and you can keep your mouth shut. You've had to battle quite a bit, and you're not likely to turn down a soft cup when it's served up to you.
You must have been reading my letters. Let's just run through the whole thing once more, shall we?
Haven't you got it clear yet?
Well, I want to be sure. I move into this high-class apartment you're talking about.
Right.
You pay the rent and give me an allowance of $50 a week.
Right.
And once in a while, on due notice, you drop in for an hour to pass the time of day.
Right.
And we just... sit and play double patience while you're there?
Personally, I prefer gin rummy.
Or we could read a couple of good books.
And no other strings attached?
No other strings. Frankly, Miss Courtney, I'm not the romantic kind. In my line of business, I can't afford to be.
Just what is your line of business, Mr. Wilmore?
You're smart enough to find out sooner or later, so you might as well know now. Did you read the papers this morning?
Yeah.
Did you read about the safe-breaking job at the Producers Cooperative Warehouse?
Yeah.
Do you remember about 10 days ago, another safe went off at the Acme Carrying Company?
Yeah.
Well, now you know. And you're the only one who knows. I always work alone. You see, I'm trusting you right from the start, Miss Courtney.
Aren't you taking a chance?
I don't think so.
And where do I come in on this?
Can't you guess?
Yes, I think I can. I'm to be your alibi, is that it?
That's it. I said you're smart. I line up a job, see? After the show, I call for you here at the club. We go home together. There's an all-night porter at these apartments. We say hello to him as we go in. Maybe I don't even go up to your apartment. Maybe I just slip out the back way. I do the job, return, sneak in through the back, and go out the front. I see the porter and say good night as I go out.
Sounds simple.
It's so simple, it's foolproof. The porter says he saw me go in at 1 o'clock and come out at 2:30. You say I was in your apartment for that hour and a half having a drink and supper. As I told you, I work alone, so no one knows different. It just can't fail.
But suppose it did. I'd be in a spot with the police, wouldn't I?
For a free apartment and $50 a week, it's worth the chance, isn't it?
There's another thing, too. You realize, of course, what people are going to think.
Do you care about that?
Not particularly.
Then, what's the odds?
As you say, what's the odds?
Then you'll do it?
Why not?
Good. Shake, partner.
Of course, it didn't take us long to guess the setup. Every time a safe went off, we made a routine check. But Charlie was always in the clear.
Last night, Lieutenant? Why, I was visiting a dame I know. She's a dancer at the Kit Kat Club. Now and then, I pick her up after the show, and we go home to her apartment for a bite of supper. Oh, strictly on the level, you understand. Mm. I wouldn't want you to get the wrong idea about her. We're just good friends. If you want to check her name...
I know. Eva Courtney. Just friends, eh? I suppose that's why you pay the rent.
Well, you see, she doesn't earn much money. And on account of her father and minor old college chum...
Did they both share the same salary?
Hey, listen.
All right. Well, it's a good line you've got onto, Charlie. But don't overwork it. Might backfire on you one of these days.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think it over. So long, Charlie.
So long.
Well, that's the way it went on for 6 months or more. We were morally certain what the setup was, but we couldn't prove a thing. And it might have still been going on now, only something happened. A young fellow by the name of Andy Summers strayed by mistake into the Kit Kat Club one night, saw Eva Courtney dancing, and fell head over heels in love with her on the spot. And to complicate things further, Eva fell for him too. Well, you can guess what happened next.
No good, Charlie. I can't go on.
What do you mean?
It's Andy.
What about him?
We're in love with each other.
Well, that's all right with me. Your private life's your own, so long as it doesn't interfere with business.
But don't you understand? Everyone thinks that you and I...
Oh, I get it. He's jealous of me, is that it?
Well, he doesn't know about you yet, but he's bound to find out sooner or later. He's already a bit puzzled how a girl in my position can run to an apartment like mine... And it won't be long before he's asking awkward questions.
All right. Let him ask. You don't have to explain.
That's just it. You see, he wants to marry me.
What?
And I want to marry him, too.
You're kidding.
No, this is the real thing, Charlie. Andy's all I've ever dreamed of. This is my one chance to get away from the kind of life I've always known. And I'm not going to miss it.
What's he do? What's his job?
He's a garage mechanic.
Has he got any money?
Not a cent.
And you mean to say you're prepared to give up all this? Your apartment, your allowance, your job?
I told you, Charlie, I love them.
You can't do it either. What about me?
I'm sorry, but my mind's made up.
Listen, honey. Everything's been strictly business between us, but I've treated you pretty right, haven't I?
Of course you have.
Then I'm asking you, as a friend, to stick by me just a little longer. I got two or three jobs lined up in the next couple of months. The biggest I've ever tackled. I've been organizing them for some while. Now, if I can pull them off, I'm set for life. Without you, I wouldn't have a chance. Please, Eva, just a little while more.
I don't know what to do.
6 weeks, that's all I ask. And at the end of that time, a little wedding present. $5,000. Think what you could do with $5,000 when you're married. What do you say?
Well,
Even if he does start asking questions, you can stall him out for 6 weeks. It's worth trying, isn't it?
All right, Charlie. I'll do it.
With so much at stake, you can bet Eva did a pretty neat job of stalling. It must have been rather like sitting on the edge of a volcano. But as the days turned into weeks, she began to kid herself everything was going to be all right. And it almost was, too. Charlie had pulled two of his jobs, and there was only one to go. And then one night late, he turned up at the club and called Eva over.
This is it, honey. The final flutter.
Not tonight, Charlie.
Yeah, tonight. I got the whole thing taped. Tell Gus you're leaving and we'll go right away.
No, I can't. Please, any other time but tonight.
What's the matter with you?
You should have given me a day or so's notice. Don't you understand? Andy's coming here to pick me up tonight. He's due any minute.
You'll have to put him off.
I can't.
You'll have to.
Please, Charlie. If he finds out now, it'll mean the end of everything. Make it tomorrow night, or the night after.
I tell you, it's tonight. Don't you realize this is the big cleanup, the grand finale?
Oh.
What's the matter?
Here he comes. Oh, hello, Andy.
Hello.
Andy, this is a friend of mine.
A certain Mr. Wilmore, I presume?
Oh, you heard?
Yeah. I've heard quite a lot. Only I didn't believe it till now.
Hey, just a minute, pal. You've got Eva all wrong.
Have I?
We're just friends, that's all.
Well, of course, Andy. You don't think...
I don't think anything. I just let the facts speak for themselves.
You don't have to go off the deep end just because I happened to have dropped in and bought Eva a drink.
I don't know why I don't sock you on the nose.
I wouldn't try any rough stuff if I was you, pal.
Don't call me pal. Eva, I'm going home now. You coming?
Well, I...
Eva's staying here with me.
Please try to understand, Andy.
I understand, all right. Good night. And goodbye.
Andy!
Let him go, honey. He'll be all right in the morning.
We'll return in just a moment to continue our story. But first, a word from our announcer. We resume our story, an alibi that went wrong.
It wasn't Charlie's lucky night. After Andy had made his exit from the club, he and Eva went home to her apartment to set his alibi. And then he went off to his job. There was a watchman to cope with, but Charlie had everything timed to the minute as usual. Only on this occasion, his timing went wrong. Just as he got the safe open, he heard a noise and reached for his gun. Next second, there was a click of a light switch.
Take him up! Take him up! I've got you covered, guys.
Got to get out of here. Got to get out!
Man was dead when we got there. Now, safe breaking's one thing, and murder's another. We'd suspected Charlie of earlier jobs, but we'd never been able to prove anything. This time, it was different.
You think it was Charlie Wilmore, Lieutenant?
I'm certain of it.
Well, I sent out a general alarm. He shouldn't be hard to pick up.
Yes, I suppose you'd better. But no, wait. Charlie's too shrewd to try to run for it. He'll be there when we want him.
With his alibi, I'll bet.
Yes, that's the whole point. We'd be wasting our time trying to take him in. We've got to break that alibi of his first, or we haven't got a chance.
That's not going to be easy.
No, but it's got to be done. You take charge here. I'll see you back at the station later, perhaps.
Where are you going, Lieutenant?
To have a talk with a woman named Eva Courtney.
You'll get nothing out of her.
Maybe not. But there's no rule against trying. Eva Courtney's apartment was only one place I called at that night. By the time I'd finished, it was 8 o'clock next morning. I snatched a cup of coffee at a little cafe and then called to pay my respects to Charlie. He was home all right, as I'd guessed he would be. He was in pyjamas and dressing gown, and he'd just finished breakfast and was reading the morning paper when I came in.
Sit down, O'Neill.
Thanks, Charlie.
What can I do for you?
You read the papers yet, Charlie?
Yeah.
There was a safe-breaking job at the Central Tire Company's office.
So I see. The watchman was shot, it says. That's bad.
It's going to be bad for someone. We don't like murder very much.
Who does? The paper says it happened at 25 to 2.
Yes, that's right. We were able to find a couple of witnesses who heard the shot.
That should make it easy for you. All you have to do now is to find someone who can't explain where he was at that particular time. And you've got your man.
Yes, that's all. It shouldn't be any trouble at all. By the way, Charlie, what did you do last night?
You don't mean to say you think I did this job, do you? I never shot a man in my life.
No, no, of course not. Just a routine check, you understand. Well?
From what time?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Let's start at, say, midnight.
Well, at midnight, I was in the Kit Kat Club having a drink with a friend of mine.
Miss Courtney.
That's right. How did you know?
I guessed. And afterwards?
Gus, that's the fellow who runs the club, said she could go early, so we left together about 12:30. We took a taxi to Miss Courtney's apartment, 56 Winchester Court.
And then?
I was a bit peckish, so she suggested I go in for a snack or supper.
What time was this?
About 12:45.
So you went in and had supper.
That's right.
And I suppose you stayed a while?
Well, we're old friends, you know. We got to talking, and before we realized it was 3:00.
You left then?
That's right.
Apart from Miss Courtney, is there anyone who can verify these times?
Yeah. Tony, the hall porter. He saw me come in and go out. You can check with him if you like.
As a matter of fact, I have.
Then why ask me all these questions?
I just wanted to hear the story from you as well. During the time you were with Miss Courtney, did you have words?
How do you mean, words?
An argument.
No. Why should we argue? We're old friends. We always get on very well together.
But you did have words with a certain young man at the Kit Kat Club, didn't you?
Oh, you mean Andy Summers.
That's right.
Well, I did have to tell him off a bit. He's been hanging around Eva, Miss Courtney, and making a nuisance of himself, so I warned him off. There was nothing to it, really. I just told him to beat it, and he did.
Would I be right in saying you were jealous of this fellow Summers?
Why should I be?
Quit stalling, Charlie. Isn't it a fact that when you went in her apartment, you accused her of two-timing you and...
Hey, what is this, anyway?
You couldn't have read your paper very carefully, Charlie, or perhaps yours is an early edition. Here, take a look at mine.
I don't get it.
Right on the front page. A little item in the top press, printed rather appropriately, I think, in red ink.
Dancer found shot in apartment. Early this morning, the body of Eva Courtney... I don't believe it.
Do I have to take you around to the morgue and let you see for yourself? No one heard the shot, Charlie, but the doctors fixed the time of death at between 1:30 and 2:30, and her wristlet watch broke when she fell, and that stopped at 1:47. You were in the apartment, you say, from a quarter to one till a little after three.
No, I must have been mistaken about the time.
Aren't you forgetting Tony, the hall porter?
I didn't do it, I swear I didn't.
Somebody did.
It must have been Andy Summers. He was jealous of her. He must have gone to her apartment after he left the club.
The only person who went to her apartment was you. It's no good, Charlie. You're in, right up to your neck. It's now my duty to arrest you on a charge.
No! Wait.
Well?
Give me time. Give me time to think.
I'll give you just 10 seconds. And don't try to do anything else but think, because I've a gun and it's loaded.
I know when I'm licked. You know the law pretty well, O'Neill. This watchman at the tire company.
What about him?
Would that be murder or just manslaughter? I mean to say, it wouldn't have been premeditated, would it? He just caught whoever was doing the job and they both went for their guns and the other fellow was faster. He didn't actually mean to kill him, but just to put him out of action.
Was that how it happened, Charlie?
I don't know. I'm just supposing. What would a jury say to that? Would they break it down to manslaughter, do you think?
I don't know.
But there would be a chance, wouldn't there?
Yes. There's bound to be a chance.
All right. I'll tell the truth.
Not here, you won't, Charlie. If you have any statement to make, you can make it at the station before witnesses. And I'll have it typed and you can sign it. Come on, let's go. At the station, Charlie spilled the whole works. His meeting with Eva Courtney, his proposition, her acceptance. He listed every job he'd done under cover of her alibi. And he told us all about the previous night's affair in the tire company.
I didn't mean to kill him. I give him a word of honor. I never killed anyone before. I've never even used a gun before. But it was all so sudden, and I suppose I lost my head. Even after I'd got away, I still thought I'd only wounded him. And it wasn't until I read the newspaper this morning I realized he was dead.
That's all, Charlie?
Yes, I don't think I can say anything else.
I don't think you have to.
There you are, Lieutenant.
Thanks. Sign here, Charlie.
Yeah, of course. There.
Good.
You do believe I wasn't in Eva Courtney's apartment at any time last night, don't you?
Of course I believe you.
Then what about this fellow Summers?
What about you?
Well, it must have been him. They'd had a quarrel, you see. It couldn't have been anyone else. Aren't you going to arrest him?
That won't be necessary.
You mean you got him already?
No, I mean there's nothing he could be charged with.
I don't get it.
There was no shooting in Eva Courtney's apartment last night, Charlie. She's as alive as you and I are.
Yeah, but the report in the paper only...
Ah, that's the beauty of having friends among the gentlemen of the press. Only one copy of the Clarion carried that stop press item. By special request, it was set up and printed for me. jury's coming back now. There's a hush in the court as they file in. Charlie's standing in the dock. He's looking very white. The foreman's standing now, reading from a little bit of paper.
We find the prisoner, Charles Wilmore, not guilty of murder, but guilty of manslaughter.
Well, I'll be darned. Charlie's gone and fainted.
In a moment, I'll return with further news of these real-life dramas of the courts. But first, your announcer.
The court is adjourned until next week.
Be listening next week, same time, same station, when we present another real-life story in Dramas of the Court. This feature is a Grace Gibson radio production produced by Reg Johnston.